Well, a very good morning. Welcome to Leperstown. You've read the column. You've seen the show. Now you've your chance to get involved and discuss everything going forward towards Cheltenham. It is the Road to Cheltenham show. I'm Kevin O'Ryan. I'm going to introduce you to my panel, which needs no introduction. Right alongside me is Jane Mangan, our very own Racing TV panellist. We've Ruby Walsh. And of course, we've even decided to bring Lydia Hislop over to Leperstown for the afternoon. First time being to Leperstown, yesterday was your first day.
Absolutely, I absolutely really, really enjoyed it. I'm hoping to be coming back many, many more times, and really looking forward to the racing today as well. But, you know, we're going to reflect on what's happened so far, both in Ireland and England over the Christmas period, and look ahead to the rest of the season.
And what a week it's been so far. End-to-end action on both sides of the Irish Sea. We're going to start off with the two-mile division. Chacun Pour Soi, you put him up, but I think it was 4-1 when you put him up for the champion chase. He's now 6-1 for the champion chase. What happened there?
Well, obviously, I'm hoping it was the right answer at the wrong time. I actually think he's a better bet now at 5-1, and you can get 6-1 in some places as well, because you've seen the horse. He is alive and well. He's mixed it in Grade 1 company. There was a move 3 out that I really liked, but I thought he was given quite a safety first ride. I think he did run like he blew up. Beforehand, Willie Mullins wasn't saying anything like that, so that's a slight concern about it. But personally, I feel that with Altior not having turned up in the Desert Orchid, not definitely a runner in the champion chase, not definitely as good as he was this time last year, then I think 6-1, 5-1, Chacun Pour Soi is actually a better bet now than it was when I put him up at 4-1. What I was thinking was going to happen was that he was going to end up being 7-4 as a result of winning. Now, obviously, that didn't happen, but I think it's a better scenario this time around, actually.
And Altior, obviously, abscess now in his wither. He's missing there. Surname, you'd have to have a question mark over the Ascot form, don't you? Because Surname ran disappointingly in the King George.
I don't have any question mark about the Ascot form at all. I just think it took a big performance for Surname to beat Altior. It was first time out for both of them. I think Surname might have been feeling the effects in the same way that Altior had been. I also think that the way in which he ran in the King George neutralised his main asset. He wasn't able to go that pace, but put his other horses out of their comfort zone. And for whatever reason, he wasn't able to do it. Maybe it was a hangover from having to run big to beat Altior. I don't know. But there was something that wasn't quite right. And he probably was a non-stayer as well. I would be quite interested in him dropped over 2 miles. I think he goes like a horse that would be perfectly capable top class 2 miles. But whether he can go left-handed, I have my doubts.
Okay, Ruby, Chacun Pour Soi, it would have been a massive training performance by Willie to win with him first time out in a Grade 1. As Lydia said, visually it looked like he took a blow. Was that the report from the team?
That's what Paul said. He just said he got tired going to the last fence. I'd like to have seen a little bit more fight. Like to look like he would quicken up and was going to win at some stage. All right, he was at the third last across the two out, but by the time they jumped the second last, that Blue Tar always looked to have his measure. And that's the bit that's a little bit disappointing for me. But having said that, a Blue Tar going left-handed is sort of 15 to 20 pounds a better horse than he is going right-handed. His form left-handed is rock solid. He beat Duke de Genève and Nace. He bolted up in the Novice Handicap Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. So, you know, Blue Tar's form is solid. And in hindsight, looking at it, he was overpriced here on Friday, I think it was. The days of the weeks are all mixed up with Christmas. But, you know, Chacun was good. He'll improve for the run. But, yeah, 6-1. At least he's an each-way price now, and he's worth a bet. Like, Deffy was very good in the Tingle Creek, and he's going to reoppose with probably Undersaw in the Clarence House, so we'll learn more there. And we'll learn a lot more when Chacun Pour Soi and a Blue Tar face off again here at the Dublin Racing Festival.
Exactly, and a Blue Tar had the run under his belt as well, which is a big, big positive coming here, wasn't it?
It looks to be. A lot of these horses that are running first time out are getting a bit tired. You saw it yesterday with Ken Boy, with Chacun Pour Soi, and a few have underperformed, you know, and different times of the year, different trainers have their horses peaked, and Henry's and Gordon's are in terrific order right now.
Lydia, a Blue Tar, I thought he was tailor-made for the Ryanair. Obviously, it's a head-scratcher for connections now. Seemed very effective over 2 miles the other day. Do you keep him to a champion chase, or do you head for the Ryanair?
I liked Henry de Bromhove's first instinct of sticking for the Ryanair. I think it will be pivotal what happens at the Dublin Racing Festival when he comes up against Chacun Pour Soi again. It depends on what kind of ground they encounter there as well. I think that will they'll make the decision for them. I mean, because he was very impressive.
The only difference is, Kevin, and even though he won over 2.5 last year at the festival, that race is on the old course. The Ryanair is running the new track, which is more of a stamina track. And a Blue Tar, when he's gone up in trip at Punchestown, albeit going the wrong way around, was disappointing.
Okay. Jane, your thoughts on a Blue Tar?
I think the Ryanair is the logical way to go. I thought when they were going the early part of the race over 2 miles, one here the other day, his jumping just wasn't as slick. He wasn't getting away from the back of his fences like he'll have to over 2 miles at Cheltenham. I think Jacques Persoir is definitely worth sticking with. I wouldn't be lying down on him yet. My only concern is that Ordinary World turned in with them, and I don't think Ordinary World will be down at the starting time for a champion chase. So he will have to improve a lot from that, but connections suggest he will. It's only the third time we've seen him in 4 years. He's every right to do that, and I'm willing to give him another chance. As Lydia said, he's gone out in price now. It mightn't be a vintage year for the champion chase, and he might be the value there.
And Lydia, finally, we just know how brilliant he is with that performance in the Grade 1 at Punchestown, his final start last season.
Yeah, I mean, he was brilliant. There were a couple of horses coming there that had run, obviously, big races at the Cheltenham Festival, and it might have been a case of their season had peaked already and that they were feeling that they were tired by that. Defi de Soy and Duc de Genève. Defi de Soy is jumping smartened up, didn't it, Ruby, from first to second start this season? Because you were thinking first time round, he wasn't slick enough or quick enough for the champion chase.
Yeah, hugely. When you watched him in the slur chase in Cheltenham, he jumped quite high and arched his back and got over the fences, whereas in the Tingle Creek he was much lower, much slicker, like a two-miler should be. But I don't think we saw anything in the Desert Auker chase in Kempton that's going to propel itself above these. Bundoran, he's a fine old horse, but it's hard to say that he's going to win a champion chase, and he just out-sprinted Duc de Genève. So, you know, maybe at a big price each way, Duc de Genève has been steadily improving through the season. Come March and a flat-out race in the champion chase, he might be value each way.
If you get a flat-out race in the champion chase, I mean, I don't know what you both think about the horse that is likely to provide that. Onua is the obvious one, but will Henry de Bronhead run him there?
Depends on what a Blue Tar does. If he needs a pacemaker for a Blue Tar, he'll run Onua. Even though they're different owners, and Henry's going to go mental when he hears that. But no, Onua does like to bowl, but is he a champion chaser?
No, I don't think so, but he's going to provide some pace. I mean, I just don't know where else it's coming from.
Is Duc de Genève quite reliant on the soft to heavy ground?
I don't think Kempton was that slow the other day, but he does have good form on it. I think he wants slow ground to be quick enough at 2 miles.
Okay, does anybody have a view from the audience? Jacques Persoir, will he win a champion chase? Do you agree with Lydia Hislop? At now at 6-1 is value. Bernard Condren is going around a roving mic. Is anybody a question for the audience?
I'm just wondering there, Ruby, there about Jacques Persoir when he bolted up at Punchestown. The ground that day, Ruby, was way different to what he'll encounter now, usually in March. Usually he's coming up soft. Do you think that will have a bearing on the race?
I actually thought soft ground would suit him. He's a very high knee action. He bends his legs like a horse that wants soft ground. He's a slick jumper, but to ride him at home, you wouldn't fancy riding him on real quick ground. He's quite a heavy-shouldered horse. I think soft ground would definitely be a help to him for that reason.
Anybody else?
What's the best Andy Post bet for Cheltenham? Have you done yourself?
Well, Ruby thinks it's Time Hill a few weeks ago, don't you, Ruby? He's already counting the money.
I advised him at 14-1 in the Albert Bartlett, and what I saw yesterday in the shallow hurdle would suggest to me that could be a good price come today, but that's gone, and I will be taking the 20s about carefully selected to find the National Hunt chase before he runs here today.
Now, carefully selected, an interesting one. I tipped up Epiton. What was
you
it, 33-1?
You did.
Never had a shilling
Everyone's
on
it. After timing here today.
Now it's 7-2 favourite. What a clown. Right, moving on. Jane, next question for you. Faheen rolled back the years the other day. Brilliant, brilliant performance. The roof lifted down in Limerick. 13,000 people there to see Faheen. He was brilliant, wasn't he? Great to see him back.
That really set the tone for the Christmas festivals, really. That was an out-of-this-world performance. If he wasn't in that race, wouldn't we be all here preaching about Sam Crowe and how everything has come to fruition for him? I know we had a horse in it ourselves. He looked very slow against Faheen. And Off You Go, who wasn't even mentioned in the race, is a dual Ladbroke hurdle winner here. And the pace that they went up the back, the jumping was so accurate from Faheen, and he maintained a strong pace. It was as good a novice performance as I've seen for a long time. Everybody was talking about Fakhar Duderiz at Fairy House. Well, this was just as good. The way he quickened down from the second last to the last, put the race to bed, it was just such an admirable performance. Everybody's talking about his age, but Faheen, he's only had, I think that was the 24th start of his life. It's his 10th Grade 1 win. That's some strike rate when you go winners to runners. a lot of people will say, oh, a 12-year-old novice can't possibly win a grade one. Well, there isn't many horses of the profile of Faheen that have gone this route. And whatever about not having maybe the legs for 2 miles anymore, I think going out and trip, he's really a force to be reckoned with.
What race would you run him in, Jane, at the festival?
I'd go for the RSA. After Angel's Bread, especially getting knocked out the other day, I think this horse, I actually remember when Patrick won his bumper on him, he said he'd never ridden a Gold Cup horse, but if he was to imagine what one would feel like, it was that day when he rode him in his bumper. He's won a point to point. Look, he will stay. I just love that his enthusiasm was back. Patrick sent him at the last two fences and he was brilliant. It was heartwarming to watch.
Ruby, could we see him have an entry in a Gold Cup?
I wouldn't have thought so, Kevin, but stranger things could happen. I wouldn't think that Willie's going to pitch him in against the likes of Ken Boy, Album, Photo, Presenting Percy, etc., with only two or three runs over fences. Maybe he will, but I couldn't see it. I'd say he's more likely to go the novice route, and knowing Willie, he will wait and wait till he sees what happens with every other horse before he decides what he's going to do with his, and he will run him in whichever he deems to be the weakest of the three distance novice chases, be that the JLT, the RSA, or the National Hunt Chase. He will line him up and go for the race that he thinks he can win.
Yes,
which
really
obviously makes total sense. It's the right way to do it.
What are we going to talk about Sam Crowe? What do we
that was my next question. Ruby, Sam Crowe, your opinion?
No fight.
No, he had a wind operation last year. And I wonder, is it a lack of fight or is there something going on?
Possibly both.
Could be both.
There's always a reason.
There is always a reason, but it was the first day where it looked like he laid down.
And I don't know, look, I said it in Down Royal when he won. He didn't go through the line and go far enough to pull up. And he's never gone through the line and far enough to pull up, in my book, to be a brilliant horse. I know when I won on good horses here, they go through the winning post and he'd be halfway to whatever the next village is trying to stop them. And Sam Crowe, as always, when he's hit the line, he's been stopped just after it. And really good horses are hard horses to pull up.
Even when he won the Ballymore, he cruised into things and Black Hawk was really hard at it. And yet he already was at his tail at the last hurdle. He doesn't find a great deal. I also thought that he didn't really fight to find a leg when he fell against Fakir Didaris either. I just can't really have him at all.
That was my next question. You just have it in the back of your mind. When Jack Kennedy, if he stood up, if is a great word, if he stood up, didn't fall at the second last, would he have found much off the bridle?
I don't think so. I argued so at the time.
I did the same, and we'll never know, but I just like to see horses struggle, especially in maidens and beginners chases when they should be that far above the opposition, that like stopping them should be the hard part. And it was too easy to pull him up and down Royal, and I think there's a hole in him, a massive hole in him.
Where would you go next with Sam Crowe?
Thankfully, I don't have to worry about that.
Winners of one chase.
Winners of one chase.
You have to get his confidence back.
Well, it's true. It's a good point.
Where are you going to find the winners of one? There's one in Nace next week. They're not going to run him in it. After that, he has to stick to graded company. That's the way the programme has gone in Ireland.
I was going to say the vets.
Yeah. Good point as well. That's a good suggestion. He might even be there yet. We don't know.
I was mostly joking.
Build him another new fancy stable somewhere. See if that works.
You'll remember Fine. The race he got in Limerick anyway, because that was heavy ground.
And you knew by Jack Kennedy's body language on top of the hill, visually, he looked like he was travelling okay, but just you knew by his body language there wasn't much left under the bonnet.
You were, but the only thing we're not giving credit for is Gordon Elliott. I mean, would you have taken a free bet on Apple's Jade yesterday? I wouldn't.
No.
That Gordon Elliott managed to turn her around. So when you're dealing with those top trainers, Gordon has Sam Crowe, you know, they'd like nothing more than making you eat your words.
Same with Willie Mullins of Faheen. Everybody thought, what, a year and a half ago, he was finished. Mm. Brings him back, he wins a grade one. And he runs him over fence at 11 years of age.
It's easy to throw stones when you're sitting here, but, you know, you just... I'm not a fan of Sam Crowe, but if he does go and win a big one...
It is a good point that Ruby's making, because Gordon Elliott has been unmoved, hasn't he, by what happened a couple of days ago. So that does cause you some kind of wobble when I'm, you know, grandly making
that
statements.
That eerie silence from a trainer and you're thinking, I will prove you wrong. That's... Don't like that.
No, don't like that. That's why they're very, very good. Finally, Ruby, it's a good point Jane made. He might be rising 12, but he's only got relatively little mileage in the clock. 24 runs.
Yeah, the stats will say a 12-year-old can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. The stats said a 5-year-old couldn't win the champion chase. Mastermind at one a furlong. I would say when you look through the stats of 12-year-olds running in the RSA, are there any?
Can't think of any off the
there's
top of my head.
Definitely no Faheen anyway. There's definitely no champion hurdle winner amongst them.
I would say there's not even a 12-year-old when you go back through it. Maybe there was one somewhere in 1904 or something, but I just, you know, it probably isn't there, so that's a stat that'll be broken.
Yeah, definitely. Can you see him reaching great heights over fence? I know he doesn't have much time to do it, but can you see it?
Has he not already?
Fair point.
No.
Two runs over fences, one would have been a grade one victory.
And slaughtered them.
Literally.
Broke their hearts.
Yep. And was always in full control.
Lydia's not having it.
I'm a no.
You're not having it? Why?
I mean,
explain.
I loved it. It was a beautiful thing that happened. I was a massive fan of it.
Just remember now, you're in Leperstown, not Newbury.
It was a beautiful thing, and it was great, and I was cheering for Heen, fantastic. But I'm not sure actually what it amounted to when we're actually then moving into tough grade one company.
Jez, I can't wait till she interviews Willie Mullins after the RSA.
We'll have to get her over here for the Dublin race.
We'll have to replay that little clip.
Definitely. Oh, Willie Mullins is watching this on his way up here today. He came early especially to see your performance, Lydia.
Sam Gordon Elliott might turn Samco around, but I'll guarantee you Willie Mullins isn't watching this.
Lydia, final question. So obviously we're going to learn a lot today at Leperstown. Regards the RSA picture at Manila Endo, battle over Dian. What's your value bet for the RSA now?
God, that's a hard question, isn't it? Probably instinctively Manila Endo, but obviously today is make or break for that, so you'd have to be brave and make, and it could be a bad Shaq and Pessoir kind of decision, couldn't it? To go ahead now.
I wouldn't swap Champ. I've been impressed with what I've saw of Champ thus far, and I'd be sticking with him at whatever price he is. I'd probably take it now, because if something doesn't spark today, Champ for standing in his stable is going to get shorter.
Yeah, very much so. Good point. Jane, have you an opinion?
Well, the ground has gone good today, so I don't think that'll suit Battle Over Doyen. And Henry de Bromhead nearly carried off a grade one treble yesterday just for Manly getting beaten. So I'm with Manila Endo.
Okay, anybody from the audience have a question? This man here.
I actually think Sam Spinner at 14s is going here.
One for the panel there, lads. I don't know if it's a 2-marker, 4-marker, or 6-marker for you now, but you can assume that yourselves. We're back as regards to Sam Crowe. He fell in two races. Do you not think that knocked the confidence out of the horse? And going back to Faheen being a 12-year-old and stats in the RSA, when you compare the RSA to the Gold Cup when Cool Ground won it back in 1992, I think it was Adrian Maguire, I think he was a 12-year-old. So I don't think it's impossible for Faheen. Could you take me up on that point, please?
I agree with you. I don't think it's impossible either. I think there's no doubt he can do it. And Sam Crowe definitely fallen. Of course, fallen can knock any horse's confidence. He fell over hurdles, he fell over fences. They didn't look to be particularly heavy falls. He stumbled out in his head in Ferry House. He overjumped and fell in Punchestown as well. Shouldn't have knocked his confidence that much, and I'd have no doubt that Gordon Elliott done the appropriate amount of schooling to rebuild his confidence.
Okay, we've another question.
Yeah, just wondering, LDR, do you think you'll go with Champion Chase?
Go on.
Reiner.
Well, I mean, I think he'll go. I think there's a chance he'll go Reiner. It's a very intriguing position that Nicky Henderson is in with Altior, isn't it? In that got an abscess, couldn't drop back to 2 miles for the Desert Orchid. Now he's pinpointed a 2.5 mile chase at Kempton, which is newly grade two. He said it out loud 3 weeks in advance to sort of warn everyone away from that race to make sure that race doesn't have too difficult an opposition for the horse. Basically, he's looking for an easy win next time out for Altior, but he's also keeping his distance options open as far as I can see by entering over 2.5 miles. So I'm expecting him fully to be entered in the Champion Chase, and I think for the first time in the Ryanair, and what Nico says as a result of running over 2.5 miles at Kempton. The other pull there, of course, is it's likely to be better ground than anywhere else in Britain at that point. I think it'll be crucial what happens there. But at the moment, I think towards the end of last season, Nicky Henderson honestly believed that the horse was struggling to have the pace for 2 miles. I think he thought that as a result of being scared by lesser horses in the Champion Chase and ditto in the Celebration Chase. I think he genuinely thought that at the end of last season, and he can't shake it from his head.
And that's not unique to Altior. When Cardo Starr won his first Gold Cup, he had won the Tingle Creek that season. When he won his last King George, he wouldn't have found him in the Tingle Creek. Horses do get a little bit slower, like everybody else as they get older, and I think that's why Altior will go up and trip.
Cheek pieces, Ryanair, get on, good thing. Nicky, please, run him in the Ryanair. Any other question from the audience? This man here? Bernard, sorry.
I was in Limerick the performance of Fahid versus Semcro, the race is over leaving the stands. Patrick had Fahid in a lovely comfort zone and he jumped like a stag. He made one error going up the back. But to me, he gave him a breather at the top of the hill. Sam Cross has a 3 mile horse and he's gone to the well too often, over 2 miles, and they tried to make a champion hull out of a chaser. So, me, I would say Fahid and Patrick stay together, because if you look at his previous race with Paul Townsend, Paul Townsend is as good as yourself, Willie, or Ruby, and he was always a good replacement. But the way I see it is, Willie's going to plan and he'll get a big day out of Fahid, but I think Patrick left to stay with him. On yesterday's race, it was super performance from Gordon, but what he did was he freshened the filly up, because she looked like as if she was going to the breeding shed. They were even saying that. But I thought she travelled. She did one coming out of the back, and Fair Joe was full 10 out of 10 to Gordon and his team, because I didn't expect it, and that's my view on it. Okay? Thank
you. I'm glad that you mentioned the propensity of Fahim to deliver a heart-stopping error out of absolutely nowhere, because I'd forgotten to mention that. I just thought I'd throw that back in.
I think the only minus with going up further with Fahim and Tripp is that he does appear to jump best when he's going fastest. The faster he goes, the better he jumps. But it's only so fast you can go in a 3 mile race, and you can't go that fast in a 4 mile race either. So that would be the one worry I'd have with going too far with Fahim.
Dennis O'Regan told me that Appleshade had been freshened up by a spell of hunting, so that sort of fits in with what you were saying. Mm.
Yeah, Gordon actually changed a little bit of tack with her as well. Obviously, it's declared that she had cheek pieces on for the first time, but he changed. Cross noseband was off, regular noseband was on, left on her tongue strap, obviously. But a lot of credit should go to Jack as well. It looked simple, and it looked like anybody could have ridden her, but he rode her with the belief that he could win. A lot of people didn't think going out that she could do that, and he rode her like the filly we saw last year. Mm. And she also, like Fahim, broke their hearts.
What does the form amount to, do you think?
Probably not a lot, but it's the way she did it. And when she wins by 20 lengths. Mm. And that's maybe, Ruby made the point yesterday that the Hatton's Grace last year, that dominant display, that was probably the display of her life, that maybe set her back, because it was mm-hmm. such a hard race. Mm-hmm. Visually, it looks like she's winning easy, but she's never easy on herself. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to keep that going through the season, and maybe that's the reason why she doesn't turn up in the spring.
And Bacardi's was beat too far out. He's beaten half it on the back, wasn't he?
He was, but look, we're talking about horses you think that are value, and this might be value, and that might be value, and the other one. But Paisley Park is 6-4 at the moment. Like, with the form of the Stairs Hurlers here, with the long walk, with the race yesterday in Leopardstown, like, he's going to be 1-3 on the day.
Yeah.
And he's 6-4 at the moment. Like, that's, I know it's 6-4, but 6-4 about a good thing is an awful lot better than 20-1 about one that might even run in the race.
It's hard to come up with the horse that's the danger to him. I wonder whether Thistlecrack is going to end up running in the Stayers Hurdle, because he obviously ended up missing the King George. He's had one run only over hurdles. Might they stick with hurdles? I don't know, because obviously he was very, very impressive when he won the Stayers Hurdle 3 or 4 seasons ago.
I think it's a very good point, Thistlecrack, because as you said, take out it with Paisley Park. It's wide open.
Not that I think he'd beat Paisley.
No, nor do I. But you'd rather go and finish second to him than have no chance in the Gold Cup. Right, moving on. We don't have much time left. I'm keen to have a little chat about the two-milers and two-mile novices.
Oh, the two-mile.
Two-mile novice chasers, yeah. I don't think we get a chance for the Gold Cup.
Fair enough.
Two-mile novice chasers. Ruby, start off with you. Fakir Nadar is...
I thought Fakir was incredible when I watched him in Navan and in Fairy House. He got turned over here by Notebook on Thursday. Thought Notebook's jumping was incredible for Rachel Blackmore and Henny de Bromhead. Was it the first or second fence in the back straight? Was just like something you would have saw Marcelli or Flagship Uberales doing. It was just spectacular. And he looked really good. But I don't know, Kevin. Obviously, the arena was disappointing. Very disappointing. She burst. What do we see in England? I don't think the English two-mile novices are quite up to the standard of the Irish ones. So you're talking Notebook, Fakir Dudari. And I think if you're looking for value in the Arkle, I wouldn't put anybody off Bapome. He won over 2-3 in Nace, and I think when he drops back down to 2 miles, he could be a real dark horse at a huge price. 25-1 in the Arkle.
Okay, 25-1. Your opinion about Mellon?
I thought Mellon jumped super, travelled well, but had to battle really hard to beat the Gallon John Joe, and I think Mellon going up and trip would be a better proposition.
Okay, interesting. Your thoughts, Fakir Dadar, is on the performance of the day, he needs to go back up and trip?
Yeah, maybe. I just think Notebook's the better horse. I'm kicking myself a little bit about the price that he was after he won first time out. I think it's a race that Henry de Bomhead has earmarked in the past with his very good novices, and I think he had shown his ability previously. And I mean, it was a tough race. I know Lorena underperformed for reasons that have been well publicised, but Fakadidaris, I thought, jumped well again. So I think that's right, that there's no obvious British contender at the moment in this particular field.
It seems a little bit in the weak side, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, I'm quite interested in Mr. Fisher for the JLT, but at the 2 mile level, I'm searching around at this point.
He doesn't really jump slick enough, Mr. Fisher. He's loads of ability, I think, but he's just not. He doesn't fly.
No, I think that the JLT will help him a little bit. The more I looked at the at the win at Cheltenham last time, the more I liked it. I think he is getting that little bit better. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there might be something that just comes out and just is that bit classier, that bit slicker.
You think that Put the Kettle On beats all the English novices in Cheltenham? I don't think Happy Henry even think Put the Kettle On could beat Notebook. So, and she has the best form way over the English horses. So it could depend on whatever Henry decides. But no, the Irish form looks way stronger.
And he's really improved from the switch from hurdles to fences, isn't he, Notebook?
That's unlike one of Henry de Bromhead's, isn't it? I thought he was class.
No, he was. He was very impressive.
He comes up long and gets there easy. As Ruby said, his jumping was exquisite. And when he hits the line, his ears are pricked. There's a lot left there. I don't think... Some people were saying he needs to go out and trip. A piece of advice for anybody. Henry de Bromhead, 2 mile chasers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't back against them.
Even see Monalee got tired yesterday. He's you know, when they go up and trip, his horses just aren't quite as good. They're maybe not fit enough.
Quick word about the Gold Cup picture.
That was a joke, by the way.
We have Henry de Bromhead in the audience here. Bernard, can we just pan over to with your mic there, please, for Henry de Bromhead's answer to Ruby Walsh. Ruby Walsh's insinuation.
Oh, look, you know...
Now, don't be sitting on the fence with this one, Henry.
We all know Ruby knows everything, so I couldn't counter that.
Good response.
Yeah. I think a round of applause deserved for Henry de Bromhead's answer.
He was sitting there saying it was boring, so I said I'd make it lively for him.
Quick word on the Gold Cup quickly. We've only got 2 minutes left. Gold Cup picture, Lydia?
I'm confused. Why isn't probably last year's winner at this stage? Delta Work I thought, has brought the RSA form back into play, so I'm not completely giving up on my 33's Santini, although he's going to have to completely transform from what we saw at Sandown. I still think that Ken Boy displayed a need to go right, as he did at Aintree when Ruby ran on him. I thought we saw that yesterday as well. I'm sure he'll come on for the run massively, absolutely. Clan des Oboes I can't have at Cheltenham. I thought he was a brilliant winner of the King George. That really stacks up, but that is very much his manner, and the race was set up for him perfectly. But going to Cheltenham is a different thing for him.
Value bet in the Gold Cup?
At the moment, as things stand right now, the title holder, Albu Photo.
I thought Monalee, for the vast majority of yesterday's race, got the best ride. they didn't go that hard, and Rachel was always in the right place on him. I thought Delta worked quick and really well. I think Davy Russell would love another go on presenting Percy, and he came home well. Kenboy will improve, but like Lydia, I think Albu Photo only enhanced his chances standing at home.
Okay, Jane, quickly.
Yeah, if you can rewatch yesterday's race again, steadily run race, didn't suit some of the horses out the back. And I would take presenting Percy out of the race. He didn't get a hard race in hindsight. Wouldn't have been suited by the way it was run, and I think he's around 12-1 for the Gold Cup. Irish money will get behind him. He'll shorten.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with Jane Mangan. Presenting Percy for me as well. Ladies and gentlemen, many thanks to Lydia Hislop, our panel, Ruby Walsh, Jane Mangan, and most importantly, to our audience here this afternoon for coming and watching The Road to Cheltenham. We'll be right back.